Good afternoon, everyone. But today, my talk is a risk factor for asthma incident rate based on the behavioral risk factor surveillance system and asthma core survey. I have nothing for disclosure for everyone. Okay. First of all, I need to talk on the object of this study. First, we had to estimate adult asthma incident rate based on behavioral risk factor surveillance system and asthma core survey. We want to determine whether this ratio is different by social demographic characteristic and behavioral risk factor. Then finally, we want to identify the behavioral risk factor that associated with the asthma incident. I don't know how many of you are familiar with BFS. It's a very famous system. It's conducted by CDC. It's a state population-based survey. It basically interviews age 18 adult, non-institutional adult. It's all year round in the survey. In BFS survey, that's called the core questionnaire and the module questionnaire. That's a cool question about asthma was asked about adult in a core questionnaire. It's called lifetime asthma. They say, have you ever been told by a doctor or health professional that you have asthma? This is a very crucial question for estimate asthma incident rate. The people, if they say yes, they ever have diagnosis of have asthma, will eligible to the asthma core survey. Then this asthma core survey will be conducted within 2 weeks after regular BFS survey. I gave you a little bit brief introduction about asthma core survey. I don't know how many are familiar with asthma core survey. This is a follow-up survey of the BFS. It's an adult 18 years old, if they say ever the diagnosis have asthma, they will eligible to participate in asthma core survey. This survey was started in 2005 with 3 states as a panel. In 2006, they had 25 states. 2007 is a 34 state participate. Right now, back to 2011, it's a 40 state participate. That means this is a state more interested in the asthma state level estimate. They want to know more detail about the asthma question. Then right now, a lot of the state participate. This survey provide a lot of detailed information about symptom, medication, healthcare usage, self-managed plan, cost barrier. Very important thing is in this survey, they have disease onset period. This question is very important for us. We use the answer for this question, the estimate of asthma incident. This is a flowchart. I tell you how the asthma incident with the inquiry and inquiry for our study population. As I'm talking about, is the asthma. Is it in BF a course survey? If you ever have asthma, say yes, then you go to asthma core survey. If you answer no, this is the asthma population at risk group. It's going to our denominator. But when you go to the yes, they will ask in the asthma core survey, they will ask you how old have you been diagnosed asthma? For how long ago will you be first diagnosed as asthma? If for more than 12 months old, it will be excluded because that's prevalence, not incidence. If they say yes, that's basically a new case for the past 12 months. This is a statistical analysis we're doing in our study. With the numerator, is the weight count of the adult diagnosis of asthma within the 12 months. Denominator is at the risk group. It's a composite of the two parts. One is never say they have asthma. And the second one is the people just no diagnosis of asthma within the 12 months. We also calculate the ratio standard error. Since asthma new cases, sample size is small, we do the annual estimate for all the participants say. But for all the For each year, the participation state is different. As I'm talking about before, for start 2006, it's 25 state, but go to the 2009, it's the 37 state plus CDC. We also had to combine to more 4 year state together. If you combine all 4 year state together, it's about 37 state plus DC together. Why we have to combine all these 4 year together? Because the new case for each state is very small. You want to do the subgroup analysis. You, for each state, for 1 year's data, it's not easy. For 1 year's data, it's so hard to do the get a reliable estimate. Also, we also use the multiple combined year data to, we need to assess the impact of social demographic and the behavioral risk factor on asthma incidence. We use the univariate logistic regression to compute cruise odds ratio for each independent variable. We also use a multivariate logistic regression to compute the predicted margin risk ratio. Predicted margin risk ratio can also called model adjusted risk ratio. It controls other variables in the model, how this risk factor impact the asthma incident. Here is the result. This is the annual asthma incident rate estimate for the each year, individual year. The year you see from 2006 to 2009 is around 3.72. I have to mention that this is per 1,000 population, it's not per 100. It's not that high. That. So we also test whether for this among these 4 years is only significant difference among these 4 years. There's no significant was found among these 4 years for incident rate. First of all, we need to assess the, for the incident rate. We put out this cruise odds ratio and predict marginal risk factor by age, sex, race, risk group. You can see if based on the asthma incident rate, there's no difference based on age group, but for the cruise odds ratio. But if you control other variable in the model, the predicted marginal risk factor, if the age 65 and older, they have more less likely to report asthma incident compared to other age group. But thanks, you see female adult that have higher incident rate. This incident rate is a statistically significant difference. If you go to the logistic regression analysis, you need to assess the cruise odds ratio. You also see some asthma. Female more likely to report the asthma incident. There's no difference for the race and ethnicity group. Even you control other variables in the model, the female still more likely to report asthma incident. If we go to the more social demographic characteristic, we have the household income group. Low household income group, if household income less than 15,000 people, this group is have high, much higher asthma incident rate. This is a significant difference. If even go based on the cruise odds ratio and the predicted marginal risk ratio, is all statistically significant different. If you go to the education status, the people that less than high school education, they have higher incident rate. But unfortunately, this incident rate maybe is the sample size kind of small. This is not significant at the 5% level. It's only in the 10% level. For the employee status, if the compared to employee for wage, her self-employed compared to non-employee group, this kind of two groups, they have lower asthma incident rate compared to, they say if the people go out to work, they have lower asthma incident rate. If we go to the cruise odds ratio, predicted matching risk factor, they also have a similar result. But we also compared whether the people residents in the metropolitan area, this urban area and non-urban area, is no different. So this is a more social demographic characteristic. So do you have any healthcare coverage? It's no different. Do you have personal doctor healthcare provider? It's no different. But people in BFS, if you're familiar with BFS, they always ask people to report their health status. People, if they report fair or poor, they have very high asthma incident rate. Then much highly likely to report asthma incident. We also talking about BMI. Obese people are definitely like most reference paper report, they always like to have a higher asthma incident rate and close asthma ratio and the predicted margin risk ratio. It also, the result is much likely agree with the risk rate estimate. Here is talking about behavior risk factor. It's a smoking status. But smoking status, a lot of people say, if you're talking about asthma incident rate based on our study, there's no significant difference from the former smoker and current smoker compared to the never smoker based on our result. But the only thing different, if you control the other variable in the model, you can see former smoker become more likely to report the asthma incident. But if we can just assess this variable individually, we don't see the significant difference. We also compare the group. They have the routine checkup within 1 month or more than 1 month, within 1 year or more than 1 year. If you have routine checkup within 1 year, you have higher asthma incident rate and more likely to report asthma incident. But we also think about if the people they have physical activity or doing the past 30 days rather than regular job, there's no statistical difference. So I'd like to give a summary of adult asthma incident for close asthma ratio analysis. And why I put incident rate and close asthma ratio together, because these two analyses mostly gave the almost inconsistent result. They see we have the sex, female have higher household income, low income group is higher incident rate. Employee status, employee for wage or self-employed group have lower asthma incident rate than the non-employee group. The poor or fair health condition have much higher asthma incident rate. Obese people have higher asthma incident rate. And if you're doing the routine checkup within 1 year, you also report the higher asthma incident rate. For the education status, it's a marginally significant. Even the lower high school education people have a higher incident rate, but it's marginally statistically significant. For all these characteristics, is age, race, healthcare coverage, have personal daughter, and all this, and the resistance in the remote area or non-urban area, smoking status, physical activity is not significant based on our study. But there's some inconsistency. If you control all the other variables in the model, it's kind of some significant status will be changed. First of all, you'd like to know is the smoking status. Former smokers are more likely to report asthma on cell compared to never smoke if you control other variables in the model. If the age group, age 65 and older, if you control other variables in the model, they're less likely to report the asthma incident. Employee status, compared to self-employee and non-employee group, if they compare to just incident rate, that's significantly different. But if you go to the control all other variables in the model, it's no longer significant anymore. I go to conclusion. The asthma incident rate, we can use a BFS asthma core survey to calculate asthma incident rate. Since we have to do more asthma core surveys available for each state, it's more data available. So you can do, maybe it's enough sample size for each state to do their own asthma incident rate estimate, because it's very important. BFS is a state-based, population-based. It's not nationwide population-based. So, as well, incident rate, if you compare all these 4 years combined with the participant state together, it's not statistically significant different. It's very important we have to combine so far, we have to combine all 4 year data together to do the subgroup estimate, because we always have to control relative standard error less than 30% for our incident rate estimate. This is very important. So its factors, significant associated asthma is sex, income, employee status, BMI, routine check, smoking status, age 65 or older. So if you know, want to know, oh, why I think I got back? Sorry. So that's kind of limitation for this study. Cross-section data, it's not longitudinal data, most likely incident rate is a self-report. Also low frequency for incident rate, that's why you have to pull more year data together to get a reliable analyze. So the BFS, you know, the telephone survey always have the response rate limitation. So it's not, so far it's not nationwide, it's not all the state participants, it's not national representative. So participate state is different, year by year is different. Thank you. Maybe you know so far for if you go to the each case disease, it's the multiple states combined together. It's not go to the state specific. Because you're talking about Maryland, basically it's more states that we don't have enough sample size to calculate the go to the state level so far. We have to combine all the state data together. There's maybe this some states have the, some really variation from the Maryland. That's why, that's all I can go back and look at the Maryland, whether they have enough sample, whether the estimate is reliable. Maybe I can give you more information so far. But here, since it's combined so many states together, it's like go to 37 states, go to a particular one state, maybe the result is hard to consistency of perfect.
We have time for one more question. All right, let's thank Dr. Chin.